Noon straight up with Gresh and Fauria here on Boston and New England Sports Original, WEEI. Don't forget, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Just download the Odyssey app. That's all you need to be able to take us wherever you are. And we're in that free agent lull. We're almost heading into the month of April where, I kind of feel like now everything starts to slow down just a little bit as we start to get ready to ramp up and head into the draft. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he does each and every Tuesday, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, Tommy Curran. Tom, good afternoon.
Andrew, Christian, how are you, boy?
Hello. Tom, I am totally asking you to guess, but when the Patriots kind of stand around and sort of cross their arms and look around at the look at what we are building, is there confidence in saying that? I'm just curious as to there was what we expected versus the results. We know there's the Calvin Ridley thing jammed in there as well. Do you think down in Foxborough they're happy or satisfied with the way this offseason has gone?
No, I don't think that they're happy or satisfied. I think that you're going to have a bunch of boxes of to-dos, and they checked a ton of them in the early portion of free agency by re-signing guys that they needed to re-sign, who were core guys on a bad team, who were character guys, who are talented enough guys who might not be all pros or pro bowlers in the case of Hunter Henry or Kyle Duggar or Mike Onwenu, but really good at their positions. So they checked all those boxes. You give them an A-minus, maybe even an A, straight A, for re-signing guys that they needed to, but it's out of your hands when you're trying to bring people into an organization that looks a little bit chaotic right now. So you can't do anything but give them a D for the guys that they've brought in. So interior free agency, they have to be happy with. I'm certain that they're disappointed that they weren't able to bring in either a left tackle or a wide receiver, because now you have to turn your attention to the draft.
Are you happy that it didn't work out with Calvin Ridley? Or do you think they should have just forced the issue?
No, I don't know if I was happy or sad. I understand the logic behind things, honestly. I think we all understand the logic. Not to say, oh, wow, I'm so enlightened. But I just think there comes a point at which you push away from the table. What is Calvin Ridley? I mean, it's a guy who was productive for four of the seasons he's been in the league. One of the years he was suspended entirely for gambling on football. While he was with the Falcons, the gambling on the Falcons, he's productive in certain situations, but is he a top 10 receiver? Is he a top 12 receiver, a top 15 receiver? And you're going to pay him $25 million a year? Because honestly, the conversion rate, and I'm no tax accountant or expert, a $92 million contract in Tennessee has to be a $100 million contract in Massachusetts. Is that really what you want to do? There has to be a point at which you push away from the table and say, we're not chasing the one guy to put us over the top here. Right now we're chasing somebody just so we can come back to the cottage and say, we caught somebody. Just leave them alone.
What do you make of all the buzz surrounding maybe moving out of number three? I know it's a lot of outside rhetoric, according to various reports, and we've even talked about it with you, Tom, on the whole, the Patriots are resisting any of that stuff. As the weeks kind of get closer to the draft here, is there a chance for a real pivot away? Or now that Minnesota has two first-round picks this year, has kind of the level of engagement changed where the Patriots have to reintroduce that discussion internally?
I don't know if they ever resisted it. I know Albert Breer mentioned that the Atlanta Falcons appeal to the teams at the top of the draft before moving on Kirk Cousins to see if they wanted to get out. It's too early. That happened at the combine. You haven't, as a franchise, if you're New England, Chicago, who's the two? For
Washington.
For God's sake.
Washington.
You haven't gotten in deeply enough on the quarterbacks to say, yeah, this guy isn't going to work for us. And really the only place you could go would be New England. and say, and the Patriots would be doing themselves a massive disservice if at that point they said, yeah, we're ready to trade out of three. They haven't even gotten in depth on who J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels might be in their system. So I don't think that they would be resistant to it. I think that that's the only report I saw where they were resistant to it. They are hardwired right now to go quarterback. But to disconnect those wires is simply a matter of giving them an offer that makes them say, we can be better if we move on. To me, it should absolutely, positively be the number one prime consideration is trading down and making your team better. That takes a lot more balls and guts to trade out when everybody's been saying this is a three quarterback draft. Does Elliott Wolf have the ability to say, sorry guys, no Christmas for you, no quarterback?
Does
We're
he
not
have
good enough to have that?
Does he have the confidence to do it, considering the job, Winky Winky, isn't really his yet?
Stay away from Winky Winky in that tone going forward.
Yeah, but you did say that the ballsy move would be to trade down and add picks. Is that what I wasn't sure I heard you right?
100%. Yeah.
Would that be your choice?
Yes. I don't think that Drake May. I would pause longer if Jaden Daniels was sitting there. With Drake May, you just don't have a good enough situation for a guy who needs polishing the way he does and doesn't have an alternative, quote unquote, superpower. He's an okay runner. He's not as good as J.J. McCarthy as a runner. You know, he's got very good size. He fits the suit. Probably won't get hurt a lot. Got a good arm. Misses too many easy throws. I mean, we're seeing this more and more with people who, as Drake May's abilities are investigated, people who are really expert on it are saying it. I mean, Kurt Warner absolutely dismantles Drake May in two different YouTube videos, each of a half an hour each. Just in terms, not dismantling him in terms of he's not draftable, just he's not a number three overall pick.
Yeah, and
it takes balls to say no.
And he also, admittedly, because he was on the show and he talked about it, and he actually acknowledged that it is extremely difficult to determine who's going to be good and who's not going to be good based on the offenses that they're running, the offensive lines that they have, you know, how they read the field. I mean, it's with all the quarterbacks that have failed recently, and most notably it would be that Mac Jones class, I wonder if more teams are willing to say, no, I'm not going to take the cheese, I'll wait. And I feel like that may be kind of where you're leaning. Like, if we're not like in love with somebody, like a second coming of fill in the blank, then we'd rather just build a really good roster, a really great foundation, add as much draft capital as possible, and then we'll figure out the quarterback situation when we need to.
Yeah, the surest way to screw up a young quarterback is bringing him into a bad situation. That's dead rock. It's a deadlock that he will be rock solid perfect. That's what I was looking for. That he will be screwed up. It can be Sam Darnold. It can be Zach Wilson. It can be Baker Mayfield. All of those guys taking one or two, all of them washing out. I have an entire list here, actually, that you'd be abused by.
Sure.
And I'm going to go through it briefly.
Let's go.
Because I went through every single guy drafted since 2017 and kind of stacked them. And here's your top five by what's called approximate value, which is an awesome measure. And the best measure you can find is on Pro Football Reference. Gives every guy a grade for each season. The top five guys since 2017, Patrick Mahomes, he was drafted 10th. Lamar Jackson, he was drafted 32nd. Josh Allen, he was drafted 7th. Jalen Hurts, he was drafted 53rd. Justin Herbert, he was drafted 6th. Then you get into a couple of number ones. C.J. Stroud, 2. Kyler Murray, 1. Brock Purdy, 262. Joe Burrow, 1. Justin Fields, 11. Trevor Lawrence, 1.
Jeez.
And down at the bottom,
you
get your Bryce Youngs, Mitch Trubisky, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Anthony Richardson, but, you know, caveat.
Yeah.
Trey Lance, Josh Rosen.
Ooh, man, it's all over the map.
Situations.
Man, I tell you what, the bad
all over the map.
The bad are so bad,
like they're complete failures.
Josh Rosen, it's almost like, how did they? I can understand a team, Tom Curran, the Almatus, every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, missing slightly. Like I can see them missing. Like you know what? He turned out to be an average quarterback, but he's a pro. You know, the ceiling's not as high as I thought, but I can't imagine how they completely whiff, like massive, like Zach Wilson, Josh Rosen, as just two examples. How in the hell did they miss on those guys?
Both of those guys, watch Josh Rosen film. The kid's got an absolute rifle. He was kind of a dink.
He's a massive dink.
But
Zach Wilson, how did he slip through this crack?
Who's that, Zach Wilson? This is awesome. This was Thor Nystrom said this on the Patriots Talk podcast. He said he found that to be one of the most absurd things he's ever seen was the Jets at number two, and a lot of it had to do with COVID. In the COVID year, he was couldn't play against any outside competition. There wasn't enough travel, so he just chewed people up, and he had tools. His arm is outstanding. He just wasn't good enough. You know, Mayfield drafted into a bad situation. Trubisky, you took him at two because he fit the suit.
Boy, he had all the measurables, had the height, the arm strength, went to Ohio State, Mr. Football in Ohio, transfers.
North Carolina,
yeah. Amazing. Okay. I just don't get it. I would think that a GM would be fired for having the courage of their convictions and pound their fist on the desk and say, Zach Wilson, number two.
Think about it. John Lynch made one of the biggest draft rolls of the dice ever, kept his job, and now they're tacking on a salary cap violation onto it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they couldn't, no one would drag that guy from the building right now. It's amazing. There's right. some who get it and some who don't.
They built a team, mm-hmm. the Boses, the McGlinchies, the Kittles, that they were able to cycle through two average quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy, cycle through those guys and withstand the drafting of Trey Lance because they built such a good team and they're so well coached. The situation that Drake May would come into with the Patriots is coaches with "Hello, my name is" stickers on their chest, trying to teach people for the first time how all of this is going to work.
It's true,
and that maybe they will work, but it ain't. It now's not the time for it, and it's tough to tell people, "Sorry, Santa didn't come," but that's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, when it comes to rebuilding a team, like the anatomy of a rebuild, there's a couple teams that I feel like their blueprint worked, right? Because you can lay out the plans and have great intentions, but the hard part is picking the right players. Like you generated all the draft equity, and you have a ton of picks at 2 years in a mm-hmm. row. Right. And then you hope that third year, like all the team is totally different, right attitude, and everybody's like, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yet half the time, like, it doesn't work out. Like, Houston hit on everything. And I would say if Nick Caserio was on his way out the door, if the CJ Stroud didn't work out, like, if they pick Bryce Young, he's Dunsky.
Yeah. But is Bryce Young better in Houston? Because, again, it's situation, and Houston actually had built a team to an extent that was ready to go. Even though they were on a first-year coach with DeMeco Ryans, they had built a team that was kind of ready to go. To me, it's so fascinating to watch how this all develops with the Patriots, because if they do trade back, are they going to get Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, the equivalent of two highly usable Pro Bowl-level players, or are they going to get N'Keal Harry? Excuse me, Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn. Are they going to get Vince Wilfork in a mix? Vince Wilfork and Daniel Graham? No, Vince Wilfork and Ben Watson.
Yeah.
That was
open. Uh-huh, yep.
So, you know, you're going to get two first-round picks, but that's only the first step. The other aspect of this is understanding, okay, what is this draft deep in? Deep in offensive tackles and wide receivers. Are they pretty good? They're really good at both spots, and there's a ton of them. So you could take the fourth best wide receiver, the fifth or sixth best tackle, and you're addressing those two needs with top-tier players. To me, it takes balls to move down and out of that spot when people are saying not to, but it's still the most safe and sensible thing to do.
Tommy, quickly, last thing for you. I know that there's been some light discussions, I guess, between the Patriots and Matthew Judon on getting something done. Do you think this is closer to the beginning of getting something done and Judon being here for another year or maybe two, or the beginning of the, well, he's an asset and we're not going to be able to extend him, so maybe we flip him and get something for him?
I don't know. I have a hard time discerning exactly which way they should go with Judon, who is, you know, a tremendous leader, a great attitude-setting guy, but he also has a massive cap hit, and he's not going to be looking to take a pay cut, but he really slowed down towards the end of 2022, and he was hurt in 2023. So you don't want to get too caught up as a new staff thinking that all these guys are awesome. We want to keep them all. We don't want to piss anybody in this locker room off. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. This, you know, you go from a guy who was only was gleefully finding people to piss off, and Bill, to are these guys going to try and will they know when to play hardball with guys who are within their organization?
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. Tom, thanks, brother. We appreciate it. We'll catch you soon, and catch you Thursday with Jones and Mego as well.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right.